on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. I'm working on a building.
I'm working on a building.
I'm working on a building.
The Lord. How many of you feel like you're still under construction? How many of you glad you're more than the foundation high? We're working on a building. Praise the Lord. God is doing a great work in his bride today. He's doing a great work. We're so thankful for that. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Just a privilege to be back in church again, isn't it? Had a wonderful service here last night. Have you enjoyed Brother Joe Hara, the word of the Lord last night? Amen. Why don't you turn around and look at somebody? You don't have to shake their hand, but look at them. Do something to them. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. God bless you. Play a little bit more of that, guys. Praise the Lord. We'll let you be seated for just a bit while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Brother Daniel, if you get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all of our prayer requests. I want to pray for the Latang family from Canada. Very, very many serious needs in their family. The Lord knows all about them. We'll just commit that request unto the Lord this morning that God would be mindful of them. Sister Donna Pistol not feeling well today. We want to remember her in prayer. Brother Jerry Glenn says that Our family would like to thank you so much for your prayers for our son-in-law, Scott Malden. He had successful surgery on his neck Thursday and is doing really well. God bless you all. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Unspoken prayer request. A close friend of Brother Rocky Ward was sharing some information about his wife, a lady in her probably in her early 40s, been diagnosed with cancer, and just asking that we would remember that prayer request this morning as we pray. Brother Reese is asking that we would remember him as he travels to Madisonville, Tennessee, to visit with his grandchildren for traveling mercies. We just commit those needs unto the Lord. Ask God to be mindful. Brother Carter Lawson says to remember Nadine Finch and her family. And they're very sick, needs our prayers this morning. Also remember Brother Carter's wife, Terry, needs a touch from the Lord, also salvation. So let's pray for that need as we pray today. Sister Maria Sponcia says to thank you for your prayers for her cousin, Joe James. His back surgery was very successful, and they want to praise the Lord for that. Somebody say, thank the Lord. Amen. Sister Christy Smith says to please pray for my cousin and his wife. They lost their baby this week. She only had 6 weeks left until her due date. So we just pray that the Lord would comfort their hearts and be with them during this time of their life. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs this morning, certainly want to remember those that are sick in our assembly here and all the flu and different things that's going on. Brother Warren, just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that family. Brother Eugene Kennedy just really needs help and a touch from the Lord. And not only these two, but all those that are sick need healing. Let's just remember them in our prayers today. We want to remember our pastor over in Kentucky this morning, the death in their family there, and he and Sister Carol over there this morning. So let's pray that God would just be with them, comfort their hearts during this time. Are you glad you're a child of God? Are you glad you're committed to living for Him with everything you got? Are you really committed to Him? Are you really glad you're committed to Him? Let's just stand this morning, if you will. Brother Daniel, you get ready to lead us to the Lord. Certainly appreciate this little guy right here, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Amen. You know, there was two men walking down a country path one day or one night. It was getting dark. The one guy told the other, and he said, I don't know this path too well. I'm going to follow you. And in a few minutes, the guy fell off the trail, fell down. He said, he blamed the other guy because he fell. He said, well, you didn't follow me because he said you walk in where I walk, you wouldn't have fell. And you know, that's the way with a Christian walk with Christ. If we follow His footprints, we ain't going to fall. Amen. We're going to stay on the trail. Amen. Let's pray for these requests. Heavenly Father, once again we come before Your throne today, knowing, God, that You're the all-powerful One, the mighty One. God, that You love us even while we were yet in sin. And God, You give Yourself for us. And God, we know that it's by Your stripes that we are healed. We thank You for this day today, Lord Jesus. Now, God, as we come into this service, we bring these requests, these petitions before Your throne. God, You hear each one of them this morning. And I pray in the name of Jesus that You'll move for everyone that's sick, that needs a touch, the one that needs traveling mercies. God, we pray that You'll be with him. God, those that lost their loved one or the child, Lord, we pray, God, that You'll just move for that family. God, we just pray that You'll have Your way now in this service today. God, that You'll anoint the service and the servant. God, that You'll be with our pastor, that You'll be with him, Lord Jesus. Help them during this time. God, we commit ourselves completely into Your hands. And God, those over the internet, those by tape, whoever they may be today, I pray in the name of Jesus that You'll move for them also. For God, we know there's no distance in prayer. In the name of Jesus, we'll give You the praise. Amen.
Thank you, Brother. God bless you. Usher.
come at this time. We'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Brother Dale Potter, good to see you this morning. Somebody said, Brother Ronnie Cobb, is he in the service with us this morning? Well, bless your heart. We're good to see all of you. God bless every one of you. Your visitor is a nice hand this morning, if you will. Praise the Lord. All those that are streaming the service today, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. It says, see those clouds. They're the ones he's coming back in. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him a good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's sing this song together. If you don't want to miss the Lord's appearing on that morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, then make your preparation, secure your soul's salvation, and keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. See those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again. See those clouds, they're the ones we'll join the same. Have a couple of specials this morning. You can be seated. Brother David Swanson's got a song for us. Brother Brandon Green's going to give us the song again this morning that he gave us last night. We really enjoyed that, Brother Brandon. That was such a beautiful song. If those brothers would come onto the platform, get ready to sing. Let's sing a little chorus this morning just as they get ready to sing for us. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I believe that with all of my heart. Not because we're a special people, but because He's a special God. We love Him with all of our heart this morning, don't we? He's the greatest thing that ever got a hold of me. The greatest force that I've ever experienced is when I surrendered to the Lord and He got a hold of my life. I appreciate you with all my heart. Are you glad about that this morning? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that chorus together. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the presence. Oh, sing it to Him. Oh, yes, surely. You can beat that. Sing it with all your heart. One more time. Oh, now surely. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Brother David, we appreciate you, buddy. Always love to hear Brother David sing. God bless you, buddy. Sing with all your heart, man.
Father of life, seated on your throne of grace, it's only by your mercy we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name. El Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ, we rely on your grace. Adonai, crowned in praise, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Father of love, never failing to forgive, each moment is a gift from you to live. And we're only here to tell the world about your grace until the day you take us all away. We cry out your name, El Shaddai, on your grace. Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Oh, we rely on your grace, Adonai. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This world was not what it was meant to be. All this pain and all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away, every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven, in heaven. We're going home where the sticks are golden, every chain. I'm in your open arms where I belong.
a song. What the last two songs? Oh, brother, if I could sing like that, I wouldn't have to preach. The real gifted singers that we have, we just appreciate it so much. What was he saying? We're going home. We're going home. We're going home. We're going home. We're going to talk about the homeland this morning. I'm glad he's saying that. We're going home. We're almost home. Oh, brother. What a day we're living in. What a day we're living in. I'm just, God, you let me be part of this. Brother Burton, part of this? The greatest revelation has ever struck the earth. Complete revelation of Jesus Christ, the unfolding of the Word, the opening of the seals of Gentile prophet in our age. Israel's back in their homeland. The rapture's just around the corner. The body change. The things we think about. What have we been given? Oh, it's overwhelming. You talk about being overwhelmed. It's overwhelming where we're at. I may not give you anything new today, but I want you to know what you've been already given, okay? I want you to really know what you've been given. But you may learn a little something this morning. Brother Donnie did text me a little while ago, and he told me to greet the people. So we greet you from our pastor in Kentucky. And he said, be praying for him with the funeral today. I don't know if he's going to have any part in the funeral. He possibly would or may. I don't know. But anyway, he said, remember him in the funeral service today. And then when they be coming back home. Amen. So let's remember him also. Now, as you're turning your Bibles to the book of Genesis, they'll have it on the screen, I'm sure, Genesis 12. We want to talk about the homeland. And I want you to listen to what I've got to tell you right now, because if you miss this, if you miss what I'm going to tell you, just these introductory statements, you're going to miss the application of what I'm trying to tell you. You've got to get this, even this introductory statements, because it's going to be a application of parallel. I'm going to let you do the paralleling. I'm going to tell you some things about Israel. We're not going to talk about ancient Israel. We're talking about present day Israel. Israel today. Brother Bam said, he said in Token Bakersfield, he said, Israel coming out of Egypt, as I said a few minutes ago, is a type of the bride. So Israel, types of bride. Not only just in her walk to the promised land, but in many, many other things. Israel, types of bride. Remember that. Israel, types of bride. Remember, Israel is God's chosen. The bride is God's chosen. Israel fell in the wilderness. The bride fell at Nicaea. Israel is now restored. The bride is now restored. Israel has a covenant. The bride has a covenant. Israel is hated by her twin. The bride is hated by her twin. It's all parallel, Israel and the bride. God promised to bless Israel. God promised to bless the bride. Israel is back in the homeland. The bride is back in her homeland. You say, well, what is her homeland? I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Vance, our homeland is the message of the hour. We're not home, but we're in our homeland. We're only passing through, but our homeland is the message of the hour. I'll show you that a little bit later. So as we go through this, you talk about when children of Israel were going into Canaan, you talk about a land flowing with milk and honey. Back then, 4,000 years ago, they didn't have a clue what a land flowing with milk and honey is. You ought to see Israel today. You're gonna see some things today. Israel today is a land flowing with milk and honey. Now what I want you to do, I want you to parallel everything that I tell you about Israel, just apply that to the bride. Israel, the type of the bride. So I'm going to give you an assignment. So as we're preaching, you say, how's that apply to the bride? How's that apply to the bride? How's that apply to the bride? You're going to do it. Put on your spiritual bonnet this morning, okay? No sleeping, no daydreaming. We're in class this morning. I want you to think about, how does this apply to the bride? Okay, is that fair enough? Agreed? All right. Genesis 12, 1 and 3. You translate it in, how does this apply to the bride? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. What nation? The land of Israel. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will, notice the I wills. And I will bless them, plural. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him, singular, that curses thee. Them that bless thee, him that curses thee. So there's going to be more people that are blessed by Israel than cursed by Israel. Plural and singular. Curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Think about it. Think about this promise. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. I'm going to bless whoever blesses thee. I'm going to curse whoever curses thee. So in other words, all of Abraham's friends, whoever's a friend of Abraham is going to be a friend of God. If you're a friend of Abraham, you're going to be a friend of God. Now, as I said, now how does this apply to the bride? You do the translating, okay? That's Genesis 18:18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed. Now this is after Abraham was tested with offering up Isaac. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are for the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We're thankful, Lord, to be here in the house of God. We're thankful, Lord, for what we heard last night. Lord, that was such a tremendous message that you just gave Brother Joe to speak to us. And who am I? Who am I really? Who am I? The prophet of God told us. It said that this would, the bride would be the incarnate Jesus Christ walking in shoe leather. We have to recognize, it's hard for us to accept that, but we have to recognize who we really are. That's the part of the last part. That's the bride making herself ready, recognizing who we really are. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, this morning, help us, Lord, in a totally different direction. Help us to realize what you have done through Israel and what you are doing through the bride. Both of them back in the homeland. Lord, I'd have committed into your hands. Lord, hide me behind the cross. I've studied, I've prayed, I've looked at this for a long, long time. Help me, Lord, to give it in the inspiration I received it, and surely it'll be a blessing to somebody. We commit it into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. We want to talk about blessings in the homeland. Now, you notice here how many times he said, I will, four times, but he never asked him one time, now, what's your opinion, Abraham? Do you agree with this, or do you want to do this? I'm asking your opinion. No. He said, I'm going to do it. It's an unconditional covenant. This is what I'm going to do. God is making an everlasting declaration right here to a man that was an idolater. He just called him out of the earth of the Chaldees. We know that. And give this declaration. Said, this is what I'm going to do. You don't have any choice about it. Are you paralleling already? I'm giving you this declaration. You don't even have any choice about it. Abraham says, whatever you say, that's what it'll be. Whatever you say, Lord, that's okay with me. Where in the world did Abraham get this faith to obey God's voice? Well, he didn't get it in the world. He got it from God. God gave him that. And look at this verse 3. And thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How can all the families of the earth be blessed through Abraham? Well, it's not through Abraham himself, but through his spiritual lineage, by his seed, the families and nations be blessed, because through that come Christ, and that's the means and the knowledge of the possibility of salvation. It had to come through that Jewish lineage. That was the promise. We're so thankful for that. Now we talk about blessings in the homeland. I got a whole page here of definitions of blessings. We're not even going to cover any of them because it's really not pertinent. But blessing is, what's a blessing? That's a hard word to define. What is a blessing? You say, well, we bless God, and God blesses us, and I was blessed with money, or this woman was blessed with beauty, and whatever. A blessing can be something good, but a blessing can be a curse. Brother Ben said in marriage and divorce, a beautiful woman, if she don't hold herself right, it's a curse to her. Money always ruins people. It can be a curse to you. So, you know, you got to rightly divide what's a blessing and what is not a blessing. But to me, whether it's natural or spiritual, anything that'll draw you closer to God, that's a blessing. That's to me, that's the best definition I know of. Anything that draws closer to God, that's a blessing. Now, in blessings in the homeland, we want to focus on the homeland. We're going to parallel Israel and the bride. Now, in Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, let's look what Brother Ram says. Now, in paragraph 130. Now, the close is a fact. Now, God deals with Israel only when she's in her homeland. Did you hear that? That's an important statement. He deals with Israel only when she's in her homeland. Let's take now, Abraham left the homeland. Now, this is the first time when he left the homeland and went down into Egypt. What happened? He walked away from the will of God. He walked away from the will of God and never was blessed till he returned back to the homeland. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's just stop right here for just a second. He never was blessed till he went back to the homeland. Well, if you read your Bible, when Pharaoh actually kicked him out and he deceived Pharaoh and kicked him out the first time, he left with sheep, he left with oxen, he left with cattle, he left with camels, he had men servants, he had maid servants, and he was rich in silver and rich in gold. But Brother Man said he never was blessed till he got back into the homeland. But he was a rich man. God never dealt with him not... Oh, but maybe this is what he's referred to. God never dealt with him not one vision, not nothing else, till he come back to the homeland. Look at Israel. When they were sitting down in Egypt 400 years, not one miracle, not one sign, not one thing happened among them, not recorded in the history of the book. Look at Abraham. He's down in Egypt. He gives his wife away. He's out of the will of God. He lied about his wife. He never built an altar down there. And this is the one thing he really made a mistake on. He brought back a thorn in the flesh, Hagar. Listen now, he was in Egypt. He was out of the will of God. You say, well, that was the will. It was a permissive will of God. But why did he bring back that Egyptian maid, Hagar? Through Ishmael has been a thorn in the flesh back then and always is and always has been. Always a thorn in the flesh. That's what happened. He was out of the will of God down in Egypt. But he came back a rich man. Look at him 25 years later, done the same blindfolded trick down in Greer. This is after he got a body change now. After a body change, he lied about his wife. He gave his wife away again. But he did pray for Abimelech that his maids were barren, that his nation would be saved. But he did get rich each time. But first time he got rich, the second time he got richer. He gave away his wife. Don't you try it. Don't you try it. When Abimelech sent him off, he gave him 1,000 pieces of silver. That's $128,000 worth. Take your money and go. Oh, brother, I tell you, he gave away his wife. Well, today, women get rich when they give away their husband. The courts gives them everything. Right? If they give away their husband, they get rich. It wasn't like that with Abraham. So, look, so I want to ask you now, Israel was never blessed when she was out of the homeland. So how did she get out of the homeland? Listen, Laodicea and church age, what Brother Rem says. Paragraph 268. And remember when Jesus commissioned his disciples not to go to the Gentiles, is that right? But to go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. How did they condemn themselves? By blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Calling the Spirit of God an unclean thing. Made fun of him when they were dancing in the Spirit and so forth on the day of Pentecost. The same city that made fun of it, Titus killed them in there, and their blood run out the gateways. They eat their own children and everything in that same country. That's right. One of the greatest nations in the world became the lowest and scattered to the four winds of the earth. Because why? Unbelief. It was the original stump, the original tree, Israel. That's how they got out of the homeland. But you say, well, Israel done that awful trick. So God just said, well, I'll just reject Israel. Not on your life, he don't. Not on your life. The fifth seal, the prophet of God says this. How are you ever going to blind out Israel? You can't do it. Oh, how could that prophet stand there in that day? You look like a unicorn, Israel. When they were trying to show him the worst parts of it, he said, why? He said, whoever blesses, you'll be blessed. Whoever curses, you'll be cursed. I want you to get that statement. That statement was a promise back to Abraham, and it's always been true. It's true yet today. Whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. Whoever curses Israel will be cursed. It was true then. It's true yet today. One time they thought God forget When the prophet seen that dark thing coming for the Jews, a man standing there with the word of God poured to him, he said, "Oh Lord, are you going to forsake your people?" He said, "What's that laying there by you?" He said, "A measuring stick." He said, "How high is the heaven measured? How deep is the sea?" He said, "I can't do it. Neither can I ever forget Israel." He can't forget Israel. He'll never forget Israel. He's got 144,000 wait there to be sealed with the atonement, the gospel. The same gospel you received, the same gospel that 144,000 is going to get. Those are elected Jews that God's got his eye on. Neither can I forget Israel. No, sir, he ain't going to forget her. He had to blind his own child. Now think of that. Blind his own child to give us a chance, and we turn it down. Don't that make you feel so small you can crawl under a concrete block with a 10-gallon hat and never touch it? That's pretty small. Brother, he purposely blind. He said he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he had to blind them so he could take a Gentile wife. And we make so light of it sometimes. And God blinded that whole nation of Israel so that we could be saved. Lord, have mercy. Israel is God's chosen nation. Jerusalem is God's chosen city. In fact, that's the only piece of real estate on the earth that anybody has a right to have a title deed to. God gave Abraham from the river Euphrates to the other border there. He gave that to Abraham and to his seed after him. They're the only people on earth have a right to any piece of real estate on the earth. You say, "Well, I got a deed to my house." He said, "They did a title." So, "Well, who had it before them?" "Well, so-and-so, who had it before them? So-and-so, who had it before them?" Go all the way back to Israel. They're the only one have a title deed to that land of Palestine. Isaac's seed, not Ishmael's seeds. Isaac's seed. It's not Ishmael's seed. They're not even in the covenant. It's Isaac. Isaac's seed. Isaac's seed had the covenant, and they had a right to the land. The mark of the beast. Look at this quote. "However, notice Israel. God had to harden Pharaoh's heart to drive them out the first time. He'd done the same thing this time. He hardened Hitler's heart, the Jews, against the Jews. And what they started the war, remember, God ever said, whoever curses Israel, I'll curse them. Whoever blesses Israel, I'll bless him. And it was scattered all over the world. And then he hardened Hitler's heart, hardened Mussolini's heart, Stalin's heart, and all the different hearts of the nation. He hardened them and finally opened the way. And Israel returning and already in their homeland. You talk about, Brother Ben said, how many times? Israel's back in the homeland. Israel's back in the homeland. Israel's back. It's a miracle. It's absolutely a miracle. Who has ever heard of over 25 years a nation being born in a day? The Bible says a nation be born in a day. Never has happened anywhere. Look at all the empires, the Babylonians, the Persians, all the empires. Not a one of them's ever resurrected. Israel was born in a day. Why? Because it was God's covenant, God's choice, God's people. Look at God keeps his word. What did I tell you from the pulpit last year? America, this is 1957. What did I tell you from the pulpit last year? America made her fatal mistake. What is her fatal mistake? In 1956, she turned down the gospel. That was her fatal mistake. I said, fatal mistake. Sure did. And look what she's doing now, 1957. You see, in the government affairs, they're trying to go right over there and hook up with the Arabs. Don't you know God said, whoever curses Israel will be cursed certainly. I stand with Israel. Take our ground or take it. Certainly, Arabs, I call them Arabs and Arabs, whatever. Arabs went wrong. Things, sure they are, brother. Look at every nation that ever turned against a Jew. They sunk. Look at Germany when she turned against a Jew and they burnt the bodies, incineration. Look at them today. Listen, are you paralleling? Are you thinking? How does this apply to us? Look at Italy. At Italy, they turned against the Jews and Mussolini ousted them from Italy. Look at her today. If we wasn't feeding them, they'd be starved to death. I want to show you today, look, that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. He can't go against his promise. He cannot go against his covenant. He can't do it. When God makes a promise, it forever stands. Why did God choose Israel? Well, go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 7. You'll find out why God chose Israel. Very simply, he didn't choose them because they're the greatest, not because they're most in number. He chose Israel because he loved her. But there's another reason he chose Israel. So somebody had to be a chosen nation. Somebody had to show God's sovereignty. Somebody had to record the words of the Messiah through the prophets. Somebody had to be a chosen lineage to bring the Messiah. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to be a blessing to the world. And he chose Israel to be a blessing to the world. Don't never forget Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I'm going to read you. I didn't put this on the screen, but I'm going to read. This is what history says. You talk about the old governments and the old nations and the old what has happened to them because they had persecuted the Jews. God has revealed us in the Bible that people, listen to this, people who persecute the Jews will be punished. And indeed they have been. The great Assyrian Empire persecuted the Jews. The great Neo-Babylonian Empire persecuted the Jews. The great Phoenician Empire persecuted the Jews. The great Roman Empire persecuted the Jews. The powerful Nazi Empire persecuted the Jews. And the powerful Soviet Union persecuted the Jews. All of these empires have been destroyed. And yet the Jews are still a nation. Glory! And yet the Jews are still a nation. Because why? Because God had made this promise to the Jews, Genesis 12:2-3. I will bless those that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And all the people of the earth shall be blessed through you. God keeps his promises, and our Jews are living proof that God keeps his promises. Not only is it living proof that God keeps his promise, God said, I'm going to have a bride in the end time. You're living proof that God keeps his promises. He said he'll have it, and he's got it. That's why the prophet of God could stand here on the first seal and say, I'm going to call you bride. That wasn't Brother Branham saying that. That was God declaring through his mouthpiece, I'm declaring there's an infant bride upon the earth today. That was in infancy in 1963. Now she's in maturity. Remember, the Bible promised that Israel would be a nation. Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. The Jews would be exiled. Israel would become a wasteland. The Jews would be scattered worldwide. The Jews would be persecuted worldwide. The Jews would have a worldwide impact. Their identity as a group would be preserved. The Jews would return to their homeland, and the Jews would have Israel again to be their country. Modern events made clear by prophecy. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now let's look at Israel. Now to look at what Israel has been blessed with, we got to see how she become a nation. And so forth like that. So you just follow with me. Now I want you to remember, you just parallel. You follow with me, okay? The Jews have declared their independence. And don't get boggled down with any of these statistics and facts and figures. They don't mean anything to you as far as that, but just only as an application, okay? 1948, they declared independence, the first time for over 2,500 years. Now, whoever heard of such a thing, as I said a while ago, the Jews have now been restored back in their homeland, a country being reborn in a single day. Back in the 1800s, a movement called Zionism swept the world, and hundreds of thousands of Jews began to migrate back to Israel, return back to the ancient homeland. So in 1948, the United States and other nations acknowledged the sovereignty of the state of Israel. But within hours after their declaration of independence, the well-trained, heavily armed Muslim army vowed to annihilate this newly formed land of Israel. I mean, they hadn't even been there 24 hours. Said, we're going to annihilate these people. You see, the Ishmael's children and Isaac's children, they fought back there, and they're fighting today. They fought in 1940. They're always going to fight. Whoever blesses Israel will be blessed, and whoever curses Israel will be cursed. Don't you never forget that. So by the way, they didn't have the name of Israel. How did they get that name Israel in 1948 when they declared independence? They want to say Zion or this or that or the other. But David Ben-Gurion, he was a Jew. He was the first prime minister of Israel. He was born in Poland, but his name was not David Ben-Gurion. His name was David Green. G-R-E-I-N. But when he got back to Israel, he decided, you know what? I'm going to take on a Hebrew name. So he renamed himself. Listen now. Name change. He renamed himself. Said, my name is going to be called David Ben-Gurion. And what Ben-Gurion means, it means son of the lion. L-I-O-N. Son of the lion. He must have known there'd be a lion of the tribe of Judah somewhere is going to reign the king of David. So he named himself David Ben-Gurion. They were trying to decide, what are we going to name this new land? And inspiration come to David Ben-Gurion. He wrote on the top of the document, he said, my country shall be called Israel. So he names it, it's going to be Israel, and thus it's been ever since. How did they win this war of independence? You talk about just a handful of people. How did they win this war? They was outmanned, outsized, outarmed, outsupplied, but they wasn't out God. They still had God on their side because God said, I'm going to restore. I'm going to have a land of Israel. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to give them everything they have need of. So one of the old rabbis, when they were attacked by the Syrian army and all these armies up there on the Golan Heights and so forth. And so this old rabbi says, you gotta say the right thing. He said, remember what the Bible says in Leviticus 26 and 7. Put it on the screen. This is what the rabbis told them. Israeli soldiers said, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight of your enemies, and shall fall before the sword. They said, amen, we believe our prophets. We believe our prophets. So you know what they did? So they went out to fight. They said the right thing. So you got to find the right scripture. You got to say the right thing. Let's talk about a few of these supernatural victories. Israel had fought five major wars since 1948 in 50 years or so. The War of Independence, the Sinai Wars, the 56 Suez Canal Wars, the Six-Day War, and the Yom Kippur War. I want to look at a few of these victories here, and then we're going to go into something else. In the War of Independence, I say, don't get bogged down with any statistics, because I won't bring up any more after this, but I want you to just see a few of these statistics as far as just being outnumbered. The War of Independence was within less than 24 hours. They was invaded by Syrian army. They had the Syrian army was five equipped Muslim armies attacked from all sides. They had the Arabs. They announced the War of Annihilation has begun, and the Arab legions numbered 650,000 men and British mercenary officers. The Jews only had 45,000 troops, if you want to call it. The Arabs had plenty of rifles, machine guns, submachine guns, plenty of ammunition, plenty of mortars, a modern air force, and plenty of jets. Israel had 10,000 rifles, 3,500 submachine guns, 775 light machine guns, 34 3-inch mortars, 672 inch mortars, and 3 days of ammunition. And the Air Force runway, the only runway was controlled by the Arabs. So how could they defeat an army like that? They was well outnumbered. They had God. They had God. I want to ask you, who is going to fight them 200 million demons that's against the bride? We have God. I don't care if we're outnumbered or not, we still got God. The Bible says if God can be for us, who can be against us? You got to realize God's on our side. There's more for us than is against us. Listen, many of those Israeli soldiers that went out to fight in that War of Independence, they were survivors of the Holocaust. Remember, this is 1948. Many of them survived the Holocaust, and they really had a zeal to fight. Brother, I'm back in my homeland. They've killed a lot of my brothers years ago, but I'm going to fight for my land. You know what many of them did? They went out on the battlefield without even a weapon, because they know they're going to pick up a weapon on some dead enemy, and they'll use their weapon to fight with. Because I know the enemy was going to get killed because God was with Israel. One third of them, soldiers, were survivors of the Holocaust. Let me tell you something about these. They had 34 3-inch mortars. Let me tell you something about these mortars. Brother Perry said this, I remember, about 18 years ago. He looked this up in history. They took a few of these mortars. Now listen, the Syrian army, these armies were coming over the hill there to invade them. So they only had just a handful of men and just a few mortars and stuff to fight back with. So you know, Israel is, God knows how to fight. You know, the Midianites said, God knows how to fight. You know, it don't have to be a fair fight. It don't have to be fair. You know, if you got one man and God, you're an overcomer. You're a winner. Show me in the Bible where God said he had to fight fair. God don't have to fight fair. He fights the way he wants to. He don't fight fair. If he wants to destroy the enemy, he destroys the enemy. Who gave Jericho a chance? God just said to blow the trumpet and the wall's going to fall. That wasn't fair. But he knew how to do it. So let me tell you what they did with these mortars. They took a few of these mortars. I know they was outnumbered. They didn't have a chance, naturally speaking. So they took these mortars, and they had the old tape recorders back then. So they took these mortars, and they just fired several of them in succession, you know, rapid succession, and they taped it on magnetic tape. Boom, boom, boom. They just taped it to go fast. Boom, 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 boom. So they set up loudspeakers all across the front line and started playing. When they go out the bell, they start playing these loudspeakers, these mortars going, and the enemy, they didn't have 34 mortars. They thought they had 34,000 mortars. That's the way Israel fights. They know how to do it. Don't tell Israel how to fight. They know what they're doing. So after this, while they're fighting that war of independence, just a few days after that, they're still fighting. A few Jews not from Israel came flying in on some outdated German Messerschmitt fighters purchased from Czechoslovakia. In less than 30 days of fighting, these fighters cleared the skies, cleared the enemy planes, cleared the Egyptian armored corps and Arabs, and the Arabs all withdrew, and they won their war, the War of Independence. Now they're a nation. It wasn't easy, but God did it for them. Now I want to ask you, who really fought Israel's war? Who fought Israel's war of independence? Who fought for Israel? God did. Amen. Who fought for Israel back then? Who fought for Israel today? Who fights for the bride? God does. God's fighting Israel's battle. God's fighting the bride's battle. That's why I give it to God. Don't you fight it. Let Him fight it. Another battle I want to... I'm just going to give a few of these little skirmishes here, then we'll go on to something real good. I think it was in the 67 war. Israel, they knew that they was going to have a preemptive strike from Egypt. And so Egypt had much more planes. Israel just didn't have just a few little old fighters. And Egypt had all, and Russia had backed Egypt. This was way back, I think, 67 war, one of them wars. So they had their intelligence. They know that they was going to get an invasion. So Israel said, well, we know, we studied the Egyptians. They don't like to fight at night anyway. So we're going to do a sneak attack at night. So we know we don't have enough fighters to shoot down all their fighters in air-to-air combat, but I got an idea. These old Israelis, they're smart, said, we got an idea. We can't destroy all their fighters, but we can destroy something else. So they went under there, and they took off. They flew several of these few little fighters they had off. They went below radar, over the ocean, went over into Egypt under radar. They caught them off guard. They didn't destroy the planes. Guess what they destroyed? The runways. You've got 5,000 airplanes on the runway. If you ain't got no runway, you can't get them off the ground. They didn't have Harriers back there, VTOL, vertical takeoff. They had to have runways. So they destroyed the runways. They couldn't get the airplanes off the ground. Then they destroyed the planes. God knows how to fight. God knows how to fight for Israel. That's Israel in the homeland. Blessings in the homeland. Yes, sir. God promised He'll be a blessing, and they are a blessing. God promised, I'm going to fight for you, and they're going to fight for you. Here's another thing. Let me tell you. Here's a little victory that happened just about 2 years ago. Israel has what they call an Iron Drone missile defense system. Some of you probably remember what happened. And in that Iron Drone missile defense system, what happens when the Syrians or Lebanon or whoever, they send in a missile, then they're... defense system will intercept that missile and destroy it. Then they have a second backup, and they have a third backup. Well, one day the missile was coming in. They already had radar. It was coming in. They fired the first missile. It missed. They'd never missed before, but somehow this one missed. So the missile missed. They fired the second one. It missed the intercepted. The third one missed the intercepted. So they didn't have any more backup. So they just, you know, we need a miracle. God, we need a miracle. But now this Iron Drone missile defense system, it does something else. It also tracks the wind speed and wind velocity. And four seconds before that missile was going to hit Tel Aviv, that machine said, you know what? We just picked up from this machine that a strong east wind picked up there and took that missile right into the ocean. Took that missile right into the ocean. I wonder about a strong east wind. I think we've heard about a strong east wind sometime before. Amen. They watched the missile go into the ocean. A miracle from Almighty God. Tell me that God don't love Israel. Tell me that God don't love His Jewish people. Tell me that God don't love His bride. What do you got to worry about? What do you got to worry about? God's going to take care of you. If God can love Israel, how much more God's going to love you? Oh, brother. I could talk about Israel for the next 3 weeks. I love it. I love it. Let me tell you, I got all kinds of victories here. Here's a good one. They saw six tanks. One of the wars, they saw six tanks coming over the horizon there. And a guy named Yoshi, not Moshe Dayan, but a guy named Yoshi, he's standing there, and he had just a little platoon of men. He was sitting in his machine gun nest. They saw the tanks coming over. German tanks, T-34 German tanks, the big dogs, coming over the mountains there. And so they're coming across the mountains, come down to the valley, got this great big old field of wheat. So they're coming across this wheat field. Here they are, a little machine gun nest, and a few dozen soldiers like that, and big armies, the Syrian army is coming after Israel. So guess what? They shoots his machine guns, you know, and he watches them bullets just bounce off the big old steel hull of that tank. He said, God, we need a miracle. God, we need a miracle. They're advancing. So they just, you know, every once in a while he saw, you know, a tracer would go out there and set a little old clump of wheat afire. You know, and God, and old Yoshi said, you know what, God, we need a miracle. But I remember sometime back in the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Samson. There was a Philistines out there, and there was a wheat field, and he tied a fire on the fox's tail. He said, just burn him up. Get rid of him. So old Yoshi takes his machine gun. I'm getting excited. Yoshi takes his machine gun, and he puts a big old tracer round of tracers in there. He just, brrr, those tanks coming over there, and just builds a fire around every one of them tanks. Brrr, fire. Because all that wheat was dry, hadn't had any rain since June. This was 2 months later. It was all hot and dry parts. So he just set the wheat field afire. So what happened? The tanks, they was all engulfed in fire, and the gas tins on the tanks and so forth, they turned around and exited. One tank fell into a creek, turned upside down like a beetle, totally incapacitated. Another one down to the river, turned upside down. Another one hit a big old rock, incapacitated, hit. They all fled. They stayed in the trenches 4 days. They never did invade anymore. That's Israel. That's God. God knows how to win the war. He knows how to win the battles. You know, it would seem like to me that people say, you know what, there's something about this Israel. I believe I'll just leave them alone. I believe I'll just leave them alone. There's something about this Israel. I don't know what it is, but I believe I'll just leave them alone. If they had any sense, I believe they would. Oh, mercy. Oh, I got lots of stories. I've got a book about airplanes, and I just picked this up. This is real good. This is the F-16 fighting Falcon. I tell you, Israel knows what they're doing. Let me read. This is just a history book. Let me read what I say about Israel. That bought the F-16s. Israel has been using the Fighting Falcon since the early 80s. The aircraft combat debut came with the destruction of Iraq's Ostrak nuclear facility in 1981. Over Lebanon in 1982, Israeli F-16s shot down 44 Syrian MiGs without one loss. You say, I don't know about all this fight. So, brother, you're in a war. You're in a battle. But listen, if you're fighting in God's battle, God knows how to fight the battle for you. Don't worry about fighting the battle. God knows how to fight it. All I can say is you better bless Israel. That's all I know. Whoever blesses it will be blessed. Whoever curses it will be cursed. He said that long time ago, and he still means it. I can tell you about another one about a bulldozer. Let me tell you about this one right quick. The enemy was up on the hillside over there, and they had to go up this big old steep bank to get up there. So the Syrians knew that Israel was not going to go this steep bank because too many old big old rocks and boulders, they couldn't climb it. So they didn't put any fortification, any encampments up there. But Israel said, you watch, we'll get up that bank. So Israel took 8 great big old bulldozers during the nighttime, went out there and just bulldozed the rocks out of the way, and their tanks went up there and took the enemy. They know how to do it. Don't you tell me Israel can't do it. If they want to do it, they can do it. Brother, don't get me started about Israel. Let me give you a couple of statistics if you don't mind. In 50 years, the Israeli Air Force has downed 1,023 enemy fighters with 28 losses. 50 years of fighting, they put down 1,028 fighters and lost 28 losses. That's about a 23-1 ratio. Pretty good kill ratio, isn't it? God knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. Oh, brother. That's enough of war. Let's start talking about food. Let's start talking about food. We're going to talk about food now, okay? Anybody want to talk about food? I'm going to make you real hungry before we get out of here. Natural and spiritual food. In Redeemer Redemption, paragraph 40, Brother Ben says, there was a man named Elimelech and his wife Naomi. They had two sons, and they left the land to sojourn. Skip down a couple of quotes here. Redeemer Redemption. When they were over there, two sons grew up and married two girls, and one of them named Orpha, the other named Ruth. And the two beautiful pictures of the church, Naomi, a perfect picture of the Orthodox church. Naomi, a picture of the Orthodox church. Orpha, a picture of the lukewarm Gentile church. And Ruth, picture of the bride. Such a beautiful lay as God has laid all of his word by inspiration. Do you believe it? Then sickness. Elimelech died. The two boys died. And the woman was left alone. Ruth took over her two daughter-in-laws and kissed them and said, now you go back to your mother's house and find comfort. For Naomi said, I've heard that in our homeland there's rain and we got food. Don't miss this now. Death had struck. Famine has struck. Are you reading between the lines now? Israel and the bride, death had struck, famine had struck, but she heard there was food in the homeland. Oh, yeah. Food in the homeland. Food in the homeland. Everything good happens in the homeland. Talking about, the Bible talks about the land of Israel is a good land. 20 times it's wrote, a good land, a good land, a good land, a good land. 17 times, or vice versa, talks about a land flowing with milk and honey. They ain't seen milk and honey until they've seen Israel today. Listen here in Joel. Let's look at Joel's prophecy. You're talking about not only was it fulfilled to Israel, this is fulfilled for the bride. This is Israel's prophecy for Israel and the bride. Joel 2:24, and the floor shall be full of wheat. We're talking about getting hungry now. We're eating. The floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army, which I have sent to you. That's Israel's prophecy and the bride's prophecy. And ye shall eat in plenty. Ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Brother, if you're not satisfied with this message, then you don't know how to eat. Your bio-gastronomics is just all kinds of messed up. Because this is fresh manna. This is spiritual manna. This is heavenly manna. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrous with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Brother, I'm not ashamed of this message. I'm not ashamed to say I believe God sent a prophet. I believe the message he said. I don't care. I don't care if it hair lips the devil and the Pope and everybody else. I believe this message. You shall never be ashamed. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. And I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Look at this quote. God has a provided way. Listen to what the prophet God said. And notice, just as Naomi, who lost everything she had, are you reading between the lines, returning back just in barley season, and Palestine today becoming to blossom like a rose. To blossom like a rose. Some of the greatest things is found, riches in all the lands of the world, chemicals found in the Dead Sea, the priceless dimension. Palestine, the greatest citron, that's citrus, the greatest citrus country. Lemons that weigh 5 pounds apiece nearly raised there. Think of it. All fulfilling God's divine word. Going home to Jews, returning home in barley season. Brother, I'm telling you, it's barley season. It's barley. It's been barley since 1948. And the angel told Brother Branham, go back to your tabernacle, to your homeland, and store up food. I'll give you food like you've never seen before. All them great big old radishes and tomatoes and everything. Store up food. Lay in supplies. Lay in supplies. Store up food. Ruth and Naomi returned back to the homeland in barley season, which is Pentecost, the first fruit. There was fruit in the homeland. There was rain in the homeland. There was food in the homeland. The homeland's a good land. Joseph knew that. Joseph wasn't looking for food, but when Joseph died, he said, I know there's something else in the homeland's real, real good. It ain't food, but it's called a resurrection. Don't you bury my bones down here in Egypt. Take me back to the homeland. Take me back to Israel. There's going to be a resurrection in the homeland. Don't leave me down here in Egypt. Egypt's cursed. There's a resurrection in the homeland. Oh, brother, when Abraham bought that Cave of Machpelah. He knew what he was doing. All that was buried right up there in the homeland. Remember, Israel types of bride. God blessed, promised to bless Israel, and he promised to bless the bride. And he's doing it. Let's look at another aspect of that. A land flowing with milk and honey. The sign of the end time. Brother Brown says, I went back in a vision. There was a little long building. And then the voice said to me, all of you remember this, and many of you, a voice said to me, bring in food, store it in. That's the only way to keep them here. Give them food. You know what? If you got a stray cat that comes on, all you got to do is feed him to keep him. All you got to do is feed him. He's yours. He's gone. Hey, don't matter. I don't care who he owns. You feed him, he's there. The voice said to me, bring in food, store. That's the only way to keep them. Give them food. And I had brought in great big barrels full of the prettiest carrots and the prettiest vegetables, things I'd ever seen. Do you remember now the vision? A vision, a prophecy, things that are to be, things that are to be. In Christ the mystery, another quote. He's praying, help this morning, Lord, as we read the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit reveal us to us that the church might be fully established in the faith that was once delivered to the saints to hold them. And may as you give the vision some 2 years ago to store up the food, fine, healthy-looking vegetables that I saw in the vision being stored here in the tabernacle. May we today receive the whole barrel full of that. Granted, Lord, or tape load, that is, that it might reveal Jesus Christ to us in the hour that we live in to give us sustaining strength. The spiritual strength for the task that lays ahead. We need that spiritual strength for the task that lays ahead. Did you hear what I said? We need that spiritual strength for the task that lays ahead. Store in food. Store up food. You got to have food to survive. You got to have natural food to survive. You got to have spiritual food to survive. Especially in Laodicea. Now the children of Israel, they left the promised land, going to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm just probably going to skip some of this, but you know, that's a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, what does that mean? Well, they got plenty of cows and plenty of honeybees, I reckon. Well, it don't exactly mean that. Actually, milk and honey is mentioned 20 times in the Bible, but most historians agree that the honey referred to was not bees' honey, but actually the nectar from the date palm. There's many, many, many hundreds, thousands of date palms in Israel, and the nectar that dripped from the dates was called honey. That's why I said it was flowing with milk and honey. Although they did have honeybees, like Samson and the carcass and so forth, they did have literal honey over there, but most historians agree that this was referring to the nectar coming from the date palms, honey. And milk, I looked it up in Israel, the Talmud says, the literal as flows from the goat's udders and honey flows from the dates and figs. That's what the actual Talmud said. So actually it doesn't really matter what it is, but the spiritual application is that milk symbolizes superior quality, richness of taste and nourishment. Honey symbolizes sweetness. So therefore, the goodness of Israel is both nourishing and pleasant. Amen. Nourishing and pleasant. A land flowing with milk and honey, whether it's cows or goats or honeybees or nectar, makes no difference. It's good and it's pleasant. It's a bountiful land. It's a good land. It's a pleasant land. It's a prosperous land. It's my land. So just for a few minutes, remember, Israel shall blossom like a rose. They have over there what they call the Negev Desert. I'm not going to take too much longer. I'm going to close on time. This is the most fascinating, some things I've researched, Brother Dan. It just fascinates me, what God has done in Israel today. Now, the Negev Desert is actually the lower two-thirds of Israel. And it's just a desert land. It's a barren desert land. And Abraham, when Abraham was exiled from Egypt the first time, he came through part of the Negev Desert to get back to his homeland there. And Moses also, when they come up to Kadesh Barnea, they sent the 12 spies over. They went into the Negev Desert. That's where they spied out the land. Went down to the brook called Eshcol, which Eshcol means cluster of grapes. And that was the fertile part of that land at that time. But David Ben-Gurion realized that the future of Israel, and that's when they got Israel and become a nation in 48. David Ben-Gurion knew that Israel, the future of Israel, laid in the development of that Negev Desert. Because the Negev Desert is 60% of the total land mass of Israel. Most of it's desert. Only 8% of the population lives there, but it's just 60% of the landmass. So they knew they had to develop that in the Negev desert. The Bible says a desert shall blossom like a rose. Now, I've got stacks of papers that I've read and read and read about like that. You ought to do some research on Israel, but I'm giving you the highlights of what I pulled out of this few days of research. Today, this is Israel today. Israel is one of the world's leading producer exports of citrus fruit. One of the world's leading exporters. Today, more than 40 different types of fruit is grown in the land of Israel. I want you just to think as we go through this. A land flowing with milk and honey. Bountiful, blessful, nutritious, pleasant food, store up food, storing big old cabbages, bringing food in the tabernacle. Israel types the bride. Israel restored, the bride restored. Israel exports more than $2 billion worth of tomatoes. They developed a tomato that has a shelf life of 30 days. And that's their fourth largest export commodity, the land of Israel. Israel grows over $107 million worth of cotton sales. That's grown on 71,000 acres. That's a yield of 13 tons per acre. That's the highest yield in the world. That's Israel. That's what God has done in Israel. Milk. Listen to this. Milk. The Israeli cows produce the highest amounts of milk per animal of any nation in the world. Any nation in the world. The highest volume of milk per cow. Any nation in the world. That's my God. He knows how to do it. He knows how to feed them cows. One of the old advertisement years, you get more with contented cows. They produce more milk. Some advertisement years ago. You old timers remember something about contented cows? Bordens or something? I don't know what. That's free. I use them. Listen to this. An orchard of 4,000 midget peach trees. 4,000 midget peach trees is densely packed into 1 acre. 4,000 midget peach trees packed into 1 acre, yielding the same quality of fruit and the same yield of fruit as 160 normal trees in the same acre. Israel knows how to do it. Lord have mercy. I'm going to run, sure as the world. I'm going to have to. I'm going to blow up here in a minute. Golden fields of midget wheat produce 35% more grain per acre than the full-size plants. That's Israel. Peanut yields in Israel are 4 times higher than Georgia and West Virginia. Amen, Israel! The Negev Desert today, it wasn't in 48, but the Negev Desert today is Europe's main winter vegetable basket. Israel exports about 60% of what they grow. They got abundance. They got abundance. Are you reading between the lines? They got abundance. They got abundance. I hope you hear me real good this morning. They got abundance. Some farmers harvest 3 or 4 crops. Some farmers harvest crops 3 or 4 times a year. 3 or 4 harvests a year, growing about 60 tons of food per acre. That's 4 to 6 times that what America grows. That's Israel. Thank God for the land of Israel. Whoever blesses Israel will be blessed, and whoever curses Israel will be cursed. As for me, the prophet God said, I stand with Israel. I stand with Israel. God's got 144,000 there I'm going to stand with. He's going to receive the same gospel that you receive. Brother, that's just a few of the achievements and the blessings. But I want to ask you a question. How have they done this? How have they been? Well, it's very simple. God. But, you know, God works through natural ways also. Brother Harry, he gives those Israeli people not only their military, their scientists, their physicists, and all of them, he gives them the brains to know how to do it. He gives them the understanding to know how to do it. Some of the ways, let me just go this right quick here before we close here. Some of the ways that Israel feeds the world. All this Negev desert, how have they grown all this abundance of crops that I just mentioned? How did they do it? They developed what they call drip irrigation. Drip irrigation. You say, well, they don't have enough water. Oh, they solved that problem too. They got 5 major desalination plants to desalinate the water out of the Mediterranean Sea. Well, you see, now, even though that water is about 10 times more salty than drinking water, Israeli scientists have developed all their strains of vegetables and fruits that they can feed those plants with brackish, salty water, and it picks up the nutrients and the sugars and the sunlight, and they balance it all out. They can produce a better fruit, a better vegetable with brackish seawater. Israel knows how to do it. That's how they can grow all those vegetables and fruits and melons and everything that they grow in the Negev Desert through this drip irrigation. Another thing they have what they call grain cocoons. When you harvest wheat and barley and things like that, as soon as they harvest it, 40% of it is destroyed by mold and insects. So what they do, they have these big grain cocoons. As soon as they harvest, they put it in this great big old airtight bag. It's watertight and it's airtight completely, and they hold it there before they ship it out. No bugs get in it. No moisture gets in it. No mildew gets in it. They get 100% shipment. They know how to do it. they have biological pest control. They have what they call the bio-bees. They're sterile fruit fly bees that they just put out there. They're sterile, so they mate, but they can't reproduce, and then they just die out. Pretty smart, isn't it? They have the orange spider, control spider mites. They ship 60% of California strawberries are treated with these orange spiders to kill the spider mites. Israel knows how to do it. Oh, I told you about the dairy farmers. They've developed a better tomato. After 30 years of research, they developed a potato that thrives in the dry, hot climates. It's got a longer shelf life, too. All this is done with irrigation of salted, brackish seawater. Oh, brother, fishing in the desert? Oh, they got fishing in the desert. Oh, yeah, yeah. They built these great big old fishing tanks in the desert, and they grow fish out there. Brother, they know how to do it. It's just wonderful. I mean, you know, you say, well, why don't we do that? We ain't smart enough. Israel has hardier and better certified seeds. Israel has larger volumes of dates and figs, all the date palms. Grapes. Israel's famous for the grapes. Israel supplies 80% of the world's wine. Well, I mean, you know, you got to do something with the grapes. Israel supplies 80% of the world's wine market. That's 36 million bottles a year. That's money. That helps the economy. Listen, how did they do it? How did they do it? The southern two-thirds of Israel, think about what Israel had done with this desert land. The lowest point on earth, the Negev Desert, is 1,200 feet below sea level. It averages 355 days of sunshine. It gets 1 inch of rain a year, but they produced all these fruits and vegetables. Drip irrigation. Drip irrigation. They know how to do it. The only country that irrigates with brackish seawater. The Israeli scientists have developed these fruits and vegetables larger, more tasty, more abundant, and brackish desalinated seawater. Remember Genesis 18:18, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. I said, I already told you that Israel was Europe's winter breadbasket. They export 60% of what they grow. How do they do it? God done it. God done it. I don't know how he does it. Don't ask me, but he does it. You say, how's God going to get us out in a rapture? I don't know how he's going to, but he's going to do it. He knows how to take care of Israel. He knows how to take care of the bride. Don't worry about it. He'll do it. Neither can I forget Israel. Neither can I forget my bride. He loves you, children. You think he's going to put you in Laodicea in a most miserable, God-forsaken, if you want to call it like that? You turn on the news, what do you got? Transvestites, sex change. You got all kinds of this kind of and that kind of filth and sin and debauchery. All kinds. We're in Sodom. We're living in Sodom. A modern Sodom. It's here, brother. It's no place like Brother Joe said. I'm tired of living in this world. I want to get out of this old world. I want to get out of this old world, Joe. It won't be much longer, but I'm telling you, God's made a way. God's made a way for you. He made a way for Israel. He made a way for you. Let me just hurry right quick. I'm almost finished. Listen here. And also, Israel has 1,000 Israeli brackish seawater specialists are training agronomists in villages in 54 countries to do the same thing. Many of them not even allied with Israel. Israel just wants to help out. Beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation. Let's read this. He's seen all this coming to pass. We see the Jews now. The Bible said that Jerusalem, and it would blossom like a rose. And how they have irrigated that land. Listen, this is the prophet of God speaking way back in 1955. The day the prophet spoke that, said that that day that water will come from the north. There was no water there then, no springs there then. But in the last few years, there's been gusher come up and is watering the valleys. And their irrigating is one of the greatest agricultural spots for its size in the world. In the world. Prophesied to be that way. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. And all these great chemicals right in the Dead Sea, there's enough chemicals found in the bottom of all the wealth of the world. The world couldn't buy it of chemicals, uranium and everything, right in the bottom of the Dead Sea, which now belongs to Israel. They got it, brother. They got it. If God would bless Israel with natural food, what do you think God is going to bless a bride? Not only with natural food, but with spiritual food. He's not so much concerned about the natural food, but he said, I'll give you spiritual food in due season. I'll give you ever-present water from the rock. I'll feed you when you can't be fed any other way. Hallelujah. And now, last but not least, Gabriel's instruction to Daniel. God never dealt with Israel until she came into her homeland. Hear me, thus saith the Lord. God will not deal with his church, I mean really deal with his church, till she comes back to the homeland, comma, the message of the hour. Come back to the original. What is our homeland? The message of the hour. Where are we at right now? In the homeland. Not home, but in the homeland, the message of the hour. If God fed Israel like he's fed Israel, God's feeding the bride like he's feeding the bride. Don't you despise a day of small things, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, God has done wonderful things. He's given us a fivefold ministry. He's given us tapes. He gave us books. He gave us understanding. He gave us a desire to hear. He gave us all these good things. Some of you people won't come to church but once or twice a week. What's wrong with you? Brother, we've been given the greatest and the best. I wouldn't miss a service for nothing in the world. You don't realize what you got. Some of you do. Some of you don't realize what you got. Some of you was raised in the message to until you get a new birth and a revelation message. It ain't no more different to being a Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, anything else. It's just religion to you. It's just religion. Because you've been raised in it. You don't know what it's all about until you get a word birth. Oh yeah, I believe God sent a prophet. The devil believes that. But until you get a birth and realize this is the greatest thing that struck the earth. This is my token. This is my life. This is my escape. This is my manna. This is my refuge. This is what's going to keep the plagues off of me. This is what's going to change my body. Oh, brother. Musicians, come on. I just have to stop right here. Now, as I said, you read between the lines. So you didn't say anything about the bride's blessings. I don't have to. There's almost 1,200 tapes. Go listen to them. You'll find out what your blessings are. I don't have to tell you what your blessings are. But I tell you what you do. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. You say, well, I don't like homework. Well, do it anyway. Since I didn't preach on your blessings... Our blessings, we know what they are. Go home and start thinking. Write down your blessings. What have I been blessed with since I've been in the message? Write them down. if you got enough paper. Write it down. What have I been blessed with? Think about it. What have I been blessed with since I've been in this message? Put it on the refrigerator. Remember what Brother Donnie, a couple of years ago, affirmations and so forth? Write down what you've been blessed with. I tell you what it'll do. It'll stop all this complaining. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. I learned this secret years ago. I got lots of mistakes. There's one thing I don't do. I don't complain. Ask my wife. I'm not a complainer. Because I learned this years ago. One thing that God hated when the children of Israel left Egypt, what did they do? Murmured. Complained. Murmured. Complained. Murmured. Complained. Out of 2 million, listen to me. Out of 2 million that left Egypt, 2 million left Egypt, how many of them were saved? Two of them crossed over, Joshua and Caleb. Four of them were saved, Aaron and Joshua, Caleb, Aaron, and Aaron's son, whoever was one of them. Anyway, there's only four of them actually saved, but only two crossed into the promised land. Amen. 2 million perished. Brother Ben said they was eternally separated, lost. How can he save them? And then look, Jude talks about the book of Jude. He once saved them and then lost them. Called them out, and then they, because of complaining, unbelief. Brother Branham, and I looked it up. He said not a one of them was saved. Not a one of them. They perished. Complaining. You think God is going to let you in with a complainer, with a complaining spirit, a critical spirit? I'm telling you, brother, sister, forget it. You ain't going to make it that way. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, honest, a good report, think on these things. Brother Branham said, preached it, why people so tossed to and fro. He said, never let a negative comment come out of your mouth. Let everything be positive. Amen. If you can't say something nice about something, don't say nothing at all. I'm telling you, don't be negative. Amen. Good preaching, Brother Terry. Don't be negative. Brother Harry's going to sing us a song, but before he sing, I did scratch down a couple of things. Let's stand. I did write down a couple of things that might be a blessing. Israel and the bride. Israel's been restored. Bride's been restored. Israel has abundant fruits and vegetables. We have abundant fruits and vegetables. Israel exports food worldwide. The bride exports food worldwide. Oh, brother. How many tapes and books have been around the world? Israel has the best national defense. We have the best national defense. The Holy Ghost. Don't get no better than that. Israel has their iron drone defense system, their bodyguard. The bride has their bodyguard too. Fivefold ministry. Israel's won 5 wars supernaturally. We've won every one of our wars supernaturally. I got to put this one here. Israel's a leading exporter of wine. The bride is a leading consumer of wine. Spiritual wine. I believe I feel a little bit of that stimulation by revelation right now. Third seal. Oh, brother. Israel is waiting on the Feast of the Trumpets. The bride is feasting while waiting on the trumpet. Glory! That came to me just last week. Israel's waiting on Elijah to come. The bride's resting while Elijah has come. Israel has a prime minister. The bride has many prime ministers. Israel has many certified seeds. The bride's got many predestinated seeds. Israel has purified water. The bride's got purified water. Purified. Purified. Israel is sitting on oil. The bride has oil sitting on her. It's called little licks of fire. Don't you hurt the oil and the wine. There's just a little bit out of it left, but don't you hurt the oil and the wine. Oh, Israel has riches in the Dead Sea. The bride's got riches in the glass sea. Brother, we could go on and on and on and on and on. Blessings in the homeland. Blessings in the homeland. Aren't you glad Israel's in their homeland? Aren't you glad the bride's in their homeland? Aren't you glad Israel's been blessed with tomatoes and cucumbers and melons and dates and figs and everything else? What do you think the bride's been given? It's all a natural type. Israel is a land flowing with the milk and honey. The bride is a land flowing with the milk and honey. Sing us a song, Brother Harry. I got to quit before I fall down. Sing, brother. Let's worship in just a minute before we go home.
Do you feel blessed this morning? Or we should. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe that pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna. That's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. We've got joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, 'cause Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why. Blessings are falling tonight. I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna. That's why.
I'm happy. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm glad what He did for me, what He did for Israel, what He did for you. I'm glad. Listen, I know you, as I said a little while ago, you young people, you was raised in the message. You wasn't a product of Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people. We was kicked out of denomination. Yeah, that was a real thing. I mean, we were literally kicked out, called on the carpet. I was brought before trial, before the board of the Pentecost Holiness Church and so forth. If you don't believe our 13th article of faith, He said, we'll take your name off the book. I said, take it off. I don't care. Listen, I don't know when they made their book, but I know when the real book was made. And I know when my name was put on the real Lamb's Book of Life. It wasn't 66 years ago, but it was before, as Brother Joe said, before the foundation of the world. God put something into me. God put something in you. It's representation. You can't get away from it. You can't leave it. It'll never leave you. I don't care what happens. It'll never leave you. Just be thankful for what God has done for you. God has given you. Where God has brought you from. Where God has taken you to. I got to quit. Sing it again. We're going to... this is how insane it would be. Brother Bert, this is how insane it would be. If you have a relay runner, he's got the baton, he's the fourth man on the relay, he's round on the straightaway, he's winning the race, he's about 25 yards from the finish line, he says, you know what? I'm just tired. I believe I'll just stop. I'll just quit. I'm just out of breath.
I believe I'll just quit.
I may not be able to get it back up, but I believe I'll just... That's insane. That's insane. We are just fixing to cross the finish line. Why are these people stopping, quitting? Well, I know what it is. No representation. You got a revelation. This is your homeland. This is your message. You ain't going to quit. You ain't going to stop. You ain't going to give up. You ain't going to give out. You ain't going to give in. You're going to make it all the way. I'm destined to be there. Origin is destiny. Sing, Brother Harry. We'll go home. God bless you. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna. That's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I'm wearing my old tattered garments. He gave me the robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna. That's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna. That's why I'm happy tonight. Windows of heaven are open, the blessing of falling tonight. Joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today. That's why I'm happy tonight. Windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. Joy.